Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I am Deacon Al. I'm a permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese, and it's always a pleasure to join you Saturday and Sunday nights here on Catholic Spirit Radio to talk about good news, talk about the gospel, and the readings from this Sunday. And we talk a little bit about just life in general, and sometimes about my life in general, as well as about yours. So right now, we're well into spring. I mean, we're heading into the fifth Sunday of Easter, so we're well into spring. But you wouldn't know it from the weather this morning. Oh my gosh, 32 degrees. Now, when you listen to this, it might not have been that cold on the morning you're listening, but we record this a few days ahead of time. And it was really, really cold this morning. And my poor plants, which are now in well into springing forth, were just shivering to death. And a lot of things have shown a little frostbite. Hopefully they're going to bounce back. But I always get great joy out of seeing things starting to come up out of the ground. And like this morning, for the first time, I saw some of my butterfly weed has broken out. And that's good news. Hopefully we'll get some more butterflies this year. And then we've got the hummingbird feeders are up. My peonies are getting ready to bloom. The Stella d'Oro already in bloom. Some of my geraniums are already blooming. I've got Siberian iris in bloom. Some of my tulips are still blooming, which really surprised me this late. But the yard is looking gorgeous. I'm anxious for some rain this weekend to feed it even more. And so that's going well. And I'm in the middle I'm actually at the end of a very big project. I've been building a new altar for our church. Our current altar was built at a time where the fashion seemed to be small altars. It just seemed to be the architectural fashion of the church at that time. And it's too small for the number of people we have, the number of vessels that we need for a Sunday Mass. Our altar is just barely 4 foot by 4 foot. Pretty small. By the time you put 6 ciboria and 3 or 4 communion cups and a chalice and the Roman Missal and a crucifix, it's starting to get pretty crowded up there. So our pastor wanted a larger altar top, and I volunteered to do that, not knowing that right after I got started, I was going to fall at church and break my foot. And so it took well over a year for that to heal, and so I couldn't go down into my wood shop on crutches. Not a good idea to be operating power tools while you're being held up by crutches. So the whole project went on hold for over a year. We came out from that and went almost immediately into the Growing Disciples program in our diocese. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, Growing Disciples is a pet project of our bishop, Bishop Tilke. It's a wonderful program. The whole point of it is to make better evangelists and better disciples out of all of us, the entire church, but starting in our parish and with our own folks. And it has several parts to it, 5 pillars primarily. But it also means getting to be a lean and mean evangelizing machine. We have not enough priests and too many properties. We've got far more churches than we have priests, which means we're spending a lot of money on facilities that are rarely used or barely used or underused. And so we have to make our priesthood and our facilities match better than they are, which means closing worship centers, closing churches. And that's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very painful thing to do for many communities to lose what might be their only Catholic church and have to drive 15, 20 miles to another town to get to a Catholic church. That's a real hardship for some folks. It's emotional because a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort and money for generations into their local parish, and to see the building no longer in use really hurts. It really cuts to the core, but it has to be done. And so very difficult decisions had to be made. So as I was just getting healed and ready to start on this altar again, our church ended up on the list of possibly to be closed, no longer used. And so that project got put on hold again. Well, now it looks like we're going to stay open. Yay! We hope. We'll know for sure Pentecost Sunday. But it appears that we're going to remain open. And so we're back to trying to get the new altar completed. So my son was visiting a couple weeks ago, and he lent a hand, and we got the thing built. And now I'm in the process. I've got it stained, and now I'm in the process of getting it three or four coats of polyurethane, and then we're going to put the metal trim and installed. And I would hope within the next 2 weeks, this project will be done and out of my house. I can get on to some other projects. I've felt guilty going into other things until this one is done, because it was a pretty big project. And I realize we all seem to do that in our lives. We get hung up on one thing, and we stop doing other stuff till this is done. And it can put a real stall on our lives. And I allowed that to happen to me. And so I kind of lost focus on some other things because I was so intent on finishing this, but I wasn't making any forward motion on it. So it was very frustrating. So anyway, I'm anxious to get that done and put it to good use in our parish. So if anyone else needs a new altar for their parish, please don't call me. I'm busy again. I'll be very busy once this is finished. So that's that. John, do you remember who Zechariah is in Scripture? Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist.
Oh, that's right.
Zechariah and I have something in common. We both have fairly crazy sons who like to live in the desert. And my son's out in Las Vegas, and I'm making plans now. I only get to see him every now and then. He was just visiting over Easter, but I only get out to Vegas like once every 2 years at best. So it's my turn to go visit. I say my turn because my wife and I go at different times. It's hard for us because of family obligations here in town. It's hard for us to both be gone at the same time. So we take turns going. So about every 18 months, one of us gets out to Vegas. So I'm heading out to the desert in the summer. I'm not sure that's the best idea. And my son has all sorts of projects for us to work on. And I said, and yard work, landscaping. And I said, you know what? We're either going to do this really early in the morning, like sun up, or we're going to do it really late at night, like dusk. Because I've been out there before when it's been 110, 112 degrees in the summer. I'm not doing landscaping work in that temperature. That would just be, that's a heart attack waiting to happen. So, but I am anxious to get out and see him. So he says, oh, I got something great to do. He's got activities planned for us. So we're going to drive to Utah and hike. Did I mention this is summertime in the desert?
Yeah.
We're going to hike at Zion National Park. And I don't know if you've seen pictures of Zion. Zion is just a drop-dead gorgeous place. Beautiful rock formations that you hike through. So it's mountainous, and it's desert, and it's summer. And I think he's trying to get his inheritance early, that he's going to take Dad and hike him through the desert in the summer. But anxious to see Zion. It should be beautiful. Do I get to call myself a Zionist once I've been there? Does that count? I don't know that I'll go that route. Hey, that was one more thing I was going to talk about before we get to our readings. And that is current events. I try not to get involved in politics. I do not vote Democratic. I do not vote Republican. I vote Catholic, right? I look for who has ideas or plans that best fit Catholic doctrine, Catholic ideology. And I see what's happening on college campuses right now, like at Columbia and Yale, even Harvard. And it's heartbreaking to me. It's not a, whether or not I agree with them. I don't, as it happens. What bothers me is their inability to discuss opposing views. And I see this more and more in our society today. And I'll admit it seems to be coming largely from one political view, but I don't want to sound biased. So I'm just going to say it's wrong no matter who's doing it. When you close yourself off to discussion, to being open to not, you don't have to accept an opposing position, but you should be able to listen to it and discuss it. If you are so weak in your ability to defend what you believe that you have to shut the other person up, then you ought to really think about is your belief really valid? If you can't defend it rationally, then is it really a valid view? And what I see going on right now on our campuses is very one-sided, very it's a violent way to communicate. And I think it's not only cowardly on a large degree, but it shows a lack of intellect to not be able to discuss an opposing view. I remember very young watching the political debates on television where you could have two people of completely opposing views sit there for an hour and discuss it. Without name calling, without insult. And it was really fascinating stuff. And you could learn a lot from it. But that ability, that level of discourse, that level of intellect really seems to have vanished from our society. And that's a shame. And I pray that we can get back to it. Whatever your opinion is, know the topic well enough to be able to withstand some criticism of it and be able to defend it. Those involved in apologetics and in religious apologetics, like you hear on from EWTN and Catholic Spirit Radio through much of the afternoon and evening, you don't hear name calling, you don't hear shouting, you don't hear abusive language. People call in, they've got a question, they may not agree with the Catholic Church, but they state what their disagreement is, and then the apologists respond in an intellectual, rational, reasonable way. And if we can do that with religion, we should be able to do that with politics and with other issues in society. So that's my prayer this weekend is that we remember we're all God's children, and we all deserve the same respect and the same dignity and the same courtesies. And we're just not doing that right now. And it's really doing a tremendous amount of damage to our society. So that's my soapbox for the day. We're going to pause for these few announcements. When we come back, we're going to go over the readings from this Sunday's Mass. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live. For me, Catholic Radio is an opportunity to be a little bit of light in a world that is succumbing more and more to darkness, to share that light with people who feel the darkness inside and really want the light and warmth of Jesus Christ. Invite others into this work the Holy Spirit is already doing. Invite them to listen to Catholic Answers Live.
Three Kings Gifts has sacramental and seasonal gifts, religious medals, rosaries, and more on the College Avenue Epiphany Church campus in Normal. Three Kings Gifts is open 10 to 3:30 on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 1 on Sunday. Profits help charitable organizations.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773 541 4159.
There's a new app, so Catholic Spirit Radio listeners with new phones, tablets, and other listening devices can also listen to our programs and podcasts. Go to your Google Play or Apple App Store to find the app Catholic Spirit Talk Radio. It's free. New app, same quality programs.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station. 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of 2 for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al. If you'd like to ask a question of me, something about Catholicism or Christianity or just religion in general, you can write to me at our mailbag here at Catholic Spirit Radio. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. And we'll be happy to try and answer your question on the air. I'll make you the same deal I make to my confirmation students. I'll give you the answer to any question you ask. And if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. It just seems the fair thing to do rather than keep you hanging out there. No, we'll do some investigation and give you the best possible answer we can give you. But we'd love to hear from you. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. So we're into the 5th Sunday of Easter. Boy, Easter takes a long time, doesn't it? But it's such a wonderful celebration, such a wonderful feast that it deserves as the 50 days that we give it. But we only have a few weeks left. We're going to be into Pentecost in just 3 weeks and then back into ordinary time for quite a while until we enter into Advent for the next Christmas season. So our readings are from the first readings from the Acts of the Apostles. The second reading is from the first letter of John. And our gospel is also from the Gospel of John. So let's dig into this and some great stuff in there this weekend that I hope will bring you some truth of Christ and bring some help into your life with things you might be dealing with. So, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles. And he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem and spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, and they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. The church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. The word of the Lord. So where we're picking up here is actually 3 years after Paul's epiphany. So Paul's on his way to Damascus. He's a Pharisee. He's not happy with the way things turned out after the crucifixion, because the Pharisees thought this will end this Christian nonsense, and it didn't. Rather than ending, Christ's resurrection caused the church to grow, just to multiply daily. And this irritated Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus. This really irritated him so badly that he went on a personal vendetta against the Christian faith. And he was arresting and persecuting Christians throughout the region. And so he had gone to the Pharisees and says, you know what, give me some official papers so that I can spread this out even further. I want to go to Damascus and arrest Christians there to stop this from spreading, bring them back here to Jerusalem and have them prosecuted, even put to death. you know, through the Acts of the Apostles, that one of the things he did was he oversaw the stoning to death of the deacon, Saint Stephen. So he's really doing quite well at his chosen vocation. He was really doing a lot of harm. And so on the way to Damascus, he's thrown to the ground by a flash of lightning. He's blinded. And Christ speaks to him. And Paul says, you know, who are you? Who's talking to me? And Jesus says, it's Jesus. And why are you persecuting me? So there's a conversion that happens in Paul. He now understands that Jesus really is God. And so Jesus sends him into Damascus, where he's met by a disciple, and that disciple helps him to learn about Christ. He heals his blindness, and then Paul goes off into the desert for 3 years of study. I don't think he went to Vegas like I'm going, but he went into the desert nonetheless, right? So he goes into the desert, and he fasts, and he prays, and he takes lessons about Christianity from Jesus. And now he's ready to start evangelizing. And he feels his calling is to evangelize to the Hellenists, to the Greeks and the pagans, to the non-Jews. But he wants to have Peter's permission, and so he goes to meet the disciples. And this is why we say the disciples aren't really sure about this, because they remember Saul the persecutor. They're not completely sold on the idea of the new Paul the apostle. And so they're pretty wary of him until he proves himself. What I wanted to point out here was that in order to do Christ's work, we have to change. And sometimes we have to change big time. I mean, look at the apostles. They all had to change. Peter, from a fisherman to a fisher of men. John and James, all of them had, Andrew, they all had to change in order to become disciples of Christ. Paul had to change to become a disciple of Christ. You and I have to change. We can't just figure we can go on living life as we always have. And some of you might say, well, I believe in Christ. That's good enough. Well, is it? And that's what takes us into our second reading. So this first reading is to tell us that you need to change. So how do you need to change? So let's go to our second reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now, this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. So it's not enough just to believe. You have to believe and act. It says we have, let me drop back here a line. Because of his commandments, we do what pleases him, and his commandment is this: we should believe and we should love one another. You can't just love someone through a belief. Love is an action. Love is a decision that leads us to an action. And so we have some of our Protestant brothers and sisters believe in by faith alone, sola fidelis. Well, there's a problem with that, in that Jesus doesn't say just believe. He says you must believe, but you must also act. And that action he calls for is to love one another and to love our neighbor and to love our enemies. Love is kind of easy, but to love our enemies is really hard. Imagine how difficult it was for Paul to change from his love of the Jewish faith to his love of the Christian faith. How difficult it was for the disciples to change from their fear of Paul to their trust of Paul. But all this happens through our acknowledgement and our connection to Christ. Without that connection to Christ, we are lost. And that's what our gospel talks about. So this our three readings today are this progression through this transformation that we must all make. So in our gospel, according to John, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." So this really ties the first two readings together in a nice little bow here. Jesus explains to his disciples that it's only through their relationship with him that they can do God's work. But it's work. It's not just belief. If it was belief, then all the tree would have to do is just believe it has fruit, right? Just say, "Well, I'm a tree. I must have fruit." And that's good enough. But Jesus says, unless the tree actually bears fruit, unless the branch actually has fruit on it, does the work, brings things to a fruition, it's just going to get cut off. And cut off from God, you can do nothing. Cut off from the tree, the branch can't grow. Cut off from God, you can't grow. So these readings today are calling us to a transformation, to a transition, to change who we are and what we believe, and to become active members of the community of Christ, of his church. It's not enough to just believe. You have to believe and obey. And this obedience requires action. And we read about it here in John. We read about it in the Acts of the Apostles. We read about it in the book of James. Everything talks about it's not enough to just say, "I believe." The only way that we know you believe is through your actions. And that action is love. And next weekend, if you read ahead to the readings from the sixth Sunday of Easter that we'll talk about next week, all three readings, that's all it talks about is the importance of love. And what does it really mean to love? And what does it really take to love? So take this week and think about that. Who do you love? Why do you love them? And are you ready to love people who might really, in your current state of mind, be unlovable until you change, until you transform into a child of God? Think about that for a week. In the meantime, may Almighty God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.